Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, Your Inspiration Station. Thank you so much for joining us, and we recognize you could be anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly glad you decided to stop by here. Today, we're talking about not giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you're struggling with the idea of perhaps giving up on your marriage, well, we want you to give us a call. 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all who are listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as Tiffany mentioned, today's topic is do not give up. You can take that in many ways, right? It can be literally you've given up on life. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Or on your marriage, on your relationships, on your family, even your relationship with God. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much, Father, that you always love us unconditionally, Father, and you are always in our corner, Father. There are times we don't see it, the times we don't feel it, God, but we know that you are there. And I pray, God, in a special way that you give us wisdom and discernment this morning, God, as we help heal relationships, as we encourage others and spur them on towards having just a fulfilling marriage, Father, and a fulfilling relationship with you and with one another. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, our theme scripture of the day comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap of harvest if we do not give up. And I love, you know, the Bible's so straightforward. And right here it says, if, you know, the promise. A lot of times we take the promises from God, but we don't like what he commands us to do in order to get those promises, right? Mm-hmm. Bible says, seek and you will find. We want to find without seeking, you know, want the door to be open without us knocking. Or when we knock, we're not knocking loud enough or hard enough, or, you know, we're not persistent. And so here we are talking about not giving up. Mm-hmm. If you believe that God speaks to you, do you believe that God is trying to intervene with your life? Then perhaps this is a message for you. That God is telling you, do not give up. Now, you could take that many ways. We want to encourage you. We want to hear from you. And we're going to have more conversation on this. So, Tiffany, please give out the number again.
Yep. The number is 855-454-5905.
You know, what I want to encourage us is we're not saying stay in a marriage if you're being abused. We're not saying stay in a marriage if your spouse just will not repent. They're stepping out on the marriage, they're unfaithful, and they just won't change. That's not what we're talking about. But at the same time, I believe some of us, we are so close to a breakthrough, so close to a victory, so close to our marriage is working, but instead we rather just run away. We rather give up because it's too hard, too painful, too discouraging, and we feel like, you know, forget it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm too hurt. And yet the Bible calls us, you know, above all things to put one another first, each other's needs, you know, to really submit to one another, not because, hey, the other person may deserve it, but because we should have reverence for Christ. And that's in Ephesians 5. So again, our theme scripture is Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap of harvest if we do not give up. We want to hear from you. Are you close to giving up? Or perhaps you have a victory story. There's something that you held on. You stood the test of time. You persevered, and now you are able to tell about it and encourage others. We absolutely want to hear from you. I'm giving you the number again, 855-454-5905. I also want to encourage you to look us up on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/beyondthevows, and you're more than welcome to hit the like button. get in on the conversation. If you don't, you know, really feel compelled to call, you're a little bit shy about calling and having everyone hear your voice, go ahead and go visit our Facebook page and post your comment or questions. We will try to get to you. But of course, we will get to our callers first.
And the number is 855-454-5905.
All right. Well, a couple of things I would like to start off with and discuss first is, you know, why? Well, why are we so tempted at times to give up? And I think, number one, it's a spiritual battle. I mean, the enemy doesn't want us to have great marriages. So he knows if he destroys the marriages, he destroys the families, the community. I mean, that's what the devil has done. And unfortunately, there are many, many children right now being raised in single parent households, not because of unfortunate, you know, events in terms of, you know, someone passing away, but because people just did not persevere in their relationship. They just didn't feel like it was worth the fight, and they felt like it was easier to just give up, you know, throw in the towel. And guess what? The children need to live with that. And others, you know, they just feel like the solution is just to switch partners. Like, hey, I'm having too much of a hard time with you. I'm going to go find me someone else. And then they realize that, guess what? They still have something in common. They took themselves to that new relationship. Mm-hmm. And because they took themselves to that new relationship, guess what? They have to figure out how to make it work. But they, a lot of times people don't see that as them. And then they go around, they go to another relationship. And it's been proven. Second marriages fail at a higher rate than first marriages. Third marriages fail at a higher rate than second marriages. So the solution is not just switching partners. The solution is learning to persevere, learning to deal with things. You know, Tiffany, when I get with couples, and especially very often when couples come to me or asking for some kind of advice, it's when they feel like they're hanging by a string, you know, hanging by a thread. They just feel like, you know what, is this even worth fighting for? And first thing I try to figure out is what do people want? You know, because sometimes people say they want out, but they really don't. Mm-hmm. And I've seen even couples for years, they're saying they're miserable, they want out, but they really don't. They just want the other person to change. And that's okay. But just I want to encourage people, be honest. Don't use divorce as a threat. Don't use separation as, you know, some kind of manipulation tool to get the other person to fall in line, because it usually doesn't work. It might work temporarily, but you're not going to get someone to change. But if you're saying, listen, honey, I love you, we need to work this out. I mean, that's how you tackle the issue. You tackle the problem, whatever it is. So we definitely want to hear from you. We want to know, are you in a situation like this where you feel like giving up? Or perhaps it's your spouse. Your spouse might be the one to feel like, okay, I'm done, and you're trying to hold on. You know, what do you do in this situation? As well as perhaps you know someone, you want to get some advice for them. And last but not least, perhaps you had a victory, and you want to share with us about what that would take. So we are going to take a brief break, but we want to hear from you, and we're going to take our calls when we return.
That's right. So give us a ring at 855-454-5905. Do you feel like giving up on your relationship? Do you just feel like giving up in general? Give us a call and let Marcos help you out. 855-454-5905. Stay close. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Today we're talking about not giving up. Not giving up on your relationship, not giving up on life. If you are feeling that way, we invite you to give us a call. 855-454-5905.
Now, it's interesting. My teenage daughter and my niece, who's also a teen, they have this thing where they see someone in public who it's like wearing like pajamas to the mall, or, you know, they're just looking, you know, really just like they woke up, basically. They just they're out in public. Mm. They're like, they gave up on life. You know,
oh,
like,
Lord.
They gave up on life, you know, and it's like, but, you know, I do wonder, you know, how many people have given up. They might look nice. Mm. They might not, you know, they might be their hair did and makeup and guys wearing, you know, well-groomed guys out there that they just look all together. And yet behind closed doors, they've given up. You know, it's just blows my mind. You know, sometimes couples that I sit with that seem so together, and I mean, some of them are not even, you know, they're separated, but they're still living in the same house so that they can keep this facade that they're together. Right. And yet the Bible talks about, you know, persevering, making sure you stand firm. You know, you can't live a lie. You know, you can't just, you know, go to church. A lot of people do this because they go to church and they don't want to be judged. But look, God sees everything. Mm. God sees where your heart is. And do you believe the promises? You know, most people were incredibly ecstatic and excited about their wedding day. And perhaps this is exactly what you prayed for. You prayed for this man. You prayed for this woman. And then things became difficult. You just want out. But it's like, listen, you wanted this. And so I'm not talking about, again, Tiffany, I want to throw in this disclaimer. I'm not talking about, you know, you marry someone and they ended up being abusive.
I'm not, I wasn't leaning into the abusive direction, honestly. I am leaning, though, in the direction of what happens, though, if you really do end up with a surprise that you weren't expecting,
like what,
in the person's personality that leans into your non-negotiables.
So say, a cycle.
Well, I mean, if mental illness does, you know, show up later, but not specifically that, but say if the person does have a quote unquote mean streak, and the mean streak isn't a physical abusive mean streak, but say they do things that are very petty or very, like, it really tears at the relationship, it tears at your trust, and it's done intentionally, and you didn't see that during the dating process, and you're like, now I'm living with someone who is intentionally doing things that they know break me down or are hurtful.
Sure.
So how do you even have the encouragement to want to persevere through that? You can't say it's quote unquote abusive, you know, if they're not.
It can be. And Tiffany, I definitely want to get back to that. And I want to share a little bit more because, you know, the wedding vows comes to play and how you count the cost for your marriage. I do want to go ahead and go to our first caller. We have Greg calling, our first caller here. And then we'll get back to you. I'm not going to ignore your question. I think it's a great point.
Okay, let's go to Greg calling in from Philadelphia on line one. Greg, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing today? I just want to say, our anniversary is Tuesday. And I want to say I love my wife because she's listening also. I'm on the road working, but
smart
like
man.
We've been through the Bible. We went to the workshop that you came to Philly.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for coming.
It was awesome, and we learned a lot from that. And we went through the vows. When we got married, we went through the vows like within 6 months. And, you know, Pastor talked to us and gave us an order and stuff like that. And, I got to represent my church, the 20th and every Bible Christ ministry.
Okay.
And I just want to send a little encouragement. Like, it takes a lot of work.
Mm.
It takes a lot of work. And I was the one that used divorce as a tools to say, look, I'm going for a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And all the thing did was just made matters worse. You know what I mean? So
sure. So you're saying when you had some difficulty and some challenges, that was the temptation to say, listen, I'm done. But that's not what you really meant. And then it made it worse.
Yeah, it made it worse because, like I said, she really took it in. And, you know, I was really, really, I kind of backslid in the church and then I was just like kind of fed up. I said, look, you know, I'm trying to work. I'm trying to do these things to provide for my family. And it seemed like I lose jobs and stuff. And we would get into arguments. I would tell her, I'm abandoning ship. You know, that was the first thing I would say, you know. And I just thank God I hung in there, you know, and we still need a little more work, but, you know, we're still working at it. Like, we come to workshops, we talk to our pastors, we get kind of rules and guidelines to handle the situation. So, you know, I just was trying to say that anybody who's going through it, just hang in there, you know, and just, and I love my wife with all my heart. I have to say, happy anniversary, babe.
Oh, wow, congratulations. So is this the first year?
Say it again?
How many years?
Oh, we have 7 years.
Seven. Okay, well, great. Well, Greg,
7 years.
Congratulations. And I think that's a very important lesson you learned, not to use divorce as a manipulation tool. And it does make things worse, but I'm glad that you both persevered, that your wife didn't, you know, decided to fight through that, and you both worked it out. So congratulations and happy anniversary.
Thank you so much, and I just want to say I love my wife. I love you, Pam, if you listen, and y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brother Greg. We appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. God bless.
It's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're talking about don't give up. Don't give up on your relationship. If you are feeling like that or you have a testimony about that, we invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905.
All right, amen. Well, I'm just writing some things here on Facebook. We definitely want to hear from you. If you decide to pick up the phone and call, or you decide to join us on Facebook, we can do that as well. You know, right before our caller, Greg, Tiffany and I were having an interesting conversation, and she was basically saying, and you can correct me here if I get this wrong, Tiffany, but you're saying, okay, what if it's not something in some ways so huge on the spectrum, like he's not being abusive, he's not being unfaithful, but it's a total surprise change of character. Maybe he's mean, maybe he's just rude, and mm-hmm. it's like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. this is not what I signed up for. This is not
right. I didn't see this beforehand.
Okay.
Especially if you spent, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, you were together a month and then got married, you know, you can miss a lot of things. But I'm saying if you spend a significant amount of time and then you see something new that's very leaning towards your non-negotiables, because we all have some things that are like, you know, I really can't deal with this in a relationship. And I know this, you know, from the onset. But if you don't see that on the onset, then what do you do?
Okay. Well, I think that's a great point, because I believe that, you know, society and our culture today tells us that if that happens, then, well, then just divorce and move on. You know, this is not what you signed up for. It's like you bought a pair of shoes and you just didn't like them, so take them back, you know. Yet it's a marriage. And the vow that we made was this is for better or for worse. I mean, what if that's due to a mental illness? I mean, do you give up on the person? You know, what if there's something else going on that you just can't pinpoint and you decide to give up? Or what if the tables were turned? What if it's you? I mean, there have been, you know, many women who go through some kind of hormonal change and they are just, you know, aggravated and aggravating all the time. And then they find out, okay, this is something else. It gets fixed and they're fine. And so, you know, at what point, you know, where do you draw the line? And I think God is the one that draws the line. Now, I tell people all the time, you know, 1 Corinthians 7 says you can divorce. I mean, you can decide, you know what, like you said, Tiffany, this is not what I signed up for. This is a non-negotiable, and you divorce. But if it's not for marital unfaithfulness, then the Bible says that you must remain alone. So that's when you have to count the cost and say, okay, well, this is so horrible. This relationship is so damaging. I can't live with this, that I'd rather be alone. But it's not permission to say, okay, this is so horrible, I just want to find someone else. So it's either you're alone or you reconcile back with your spouse. And so those are really the choices that God gives you. Again, unless it's something else. If they're unfaithful, they just won't repent, then that's different. But if it's something like you mentioned, some character issue, something that they're dealing with, then that's what you do. Then you, hey, you know, I love you, but I can't live with you. So I'll rather be alone. And that's what the Bible teaches.
Okay. So we are looking forward to your phone calls. If you have any questions, if you're dealing with a situation where you're considering giving up, then reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
And I just finished posting what Greg, previous caller here, who mentioned that he used divorce as a manipulation tool, mm-hmm. and yet it made things worse. However, they've persevered, and now they're celebrating 7 years of marriage. You know, what's your story? What's your testimony? Was there a time in your relationship? I know for me, there was a time. You know, I mean, we will be celebrating 16 years next week, actually. And early on in our marriage, I think that the immaturity, we just felt like, oh, I don't know, maybe we don't need to be together. And it's like, you know what? Why are we saying this if that's not what we mean? We want to be together for the rest of our lives. We love each other. Let's work this out. But I think sometimes we use these tools. They're defense mechanisms. They're ways to get our way, or at least tending to get our way. And it does make matters worse. It doesn't help your relationship. It's not the way God designed for things to be. So again, the Bible, we shared our theme scripture of the day from Galatians chapter 6, and it says in verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. Like, you don't stop doing good. You still love one another. You still serve one another. And then it says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And if we're honest, and this is where my biggest challenge falls, is I get impatient. I want results right away. That's what I want. You know, I don't want a return on my investment long term. I want it now. And in a marriage, sometimes it takes years of, you know, planting and watering and loving the person to see them turn the corner. You know, are you there? Are you at a point where you just feel like, look, maybe God is true and he is going to come through, but I just can't wait that long. I'm going to give up.
Yes, it's deep. And we're waiting for you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're talking about not giving up, not giving up on your relationship, not giving up on life. And maybe you even have an issue where you're wondering if you should give up on your dream, if it is getting in the way of your relationship, which I know from experience can be a very difficult position to be in. If you, not just a dream, like, oh, I have this dream, something I always wanted to do, but something you really feel like you're called to do.
And that's different, right? When you feel called, it's like you can't stop that call. Like, it gets louder and louder, but you run from it.
Well, or if you feel like your spouse, or if you're not yet married, if you feel like they're like, listen, I need you to stop because I need more attention from you, but you're like, this is a call on my life. If I don't do this, like, inside, I'm gonna die. I feel like there's a part of me that's not going to be here anymore. I'm not a full person if I don't do this, because that's why I am here. So when that gets in the way of the relationship, then what do you do?
So that's a good one. Definitely, we want to hear from you.
All right, 855-454-5905. We have Annie calling in from Philadelphia. Annie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good.
Oh, great. Well, Annie, thank you so much for your call. What is your comment or question for us?
My question is, I had met somebody a couple years ago, probably about 6 years, 6-7 years ago. We started dating. We had a good relationship. But through the relationship, he started cheating.
And this is before marriage?
We're not even married.
You got married?
No,
you said you never got married, but while you were dating this man, he started being unfaithful.
Yes.
Okay.
Due to the situation, I have really learned not within the last year or two to really cut him off, you know, not be bothered with him, not to have sex with him or anything. But up until today, he still would not let go. I don't understand why. If I'm not satisfying you, or you can't be honest with me, why do you want to be with me? Why you don't want to let me go?
Well, let me ask you a few things, Annie. Number one, do you believe that this was the person God sent your way?
I say yes. I say yes.
And why? Why would you say that?
Because when we first met, I really tried not to get involved with him for long, but he kept coming around. Okay. And I think the chemistry that we have a lot of things in common. He's younger than me.
Okay.
He's much younger than me, but I think the chemistry that we have a lot of stuff that we still do have in common. But his ways, he will not change his. He's saying he changed his ways. I don't see it.
Okay. Well, a couple of things, Annie, that really stand out to me. Number one is, you always got to ask yourself, you know, does this relationship glorify God? That's how you know if it's from God or not. Because the devil will give you things as well. And sometimes they might seem like you have a lot in common with what the devil might give you, because he knows you too. And so in this case, you're saying this man was just not faithful, but you were already sleeping with him. And my question, and this is perhaps where I'm trying to get to here, perhaps the problem is you didn't immediately cut it off. And so he feels like, you know what, you were willing to put up with it to some degree. And so why wouldn't you now? And so you're talking about for years. Did you cut it up abruptly when you realized this man was unfaithful, or did you keep entertaining it somehow and kept the relationship going?
For a while, I did entertain it, but for the last 2 years, I have not entertained it at all.
So, do you still talk to him?
Yes.
Why?
Because deep down inside, I think I still do love him and care about him.
So the man is not stupid. The man knows there's still some hope there, and that's why he's trying to hold on. And you know what? If you love him, he loves you, that's fine. But you just have to be super clear that there's just going to be some non-negotiables. Like, look, I'll love you, and we can try this again. But you ever unfaithful again, it's over. But when you say over, Annie, it means over. Like, you don't even talk to the guy anymore. Because
right.
If not, you're giving him hope that, you know, there's still something there. And if he's a player, which sounds like he is, he's gonna be even more desiring to be good, to go after you even more, because you're giving him a hard time. So it's more of like, man, I need to conquer. I need to win this battle, because she's not giving me the time of day. Again, I might be off, but it sounds like this man has played you in the past. He's not done this the right way. So, but if you feel in your heart of hearts you still love him and you feel like this is a relationship that's going to glorify God, well, number one, the sin needs to stop. You don't need to sleep with him. Number two,
And I'll be honest with you, I haven't done it in about 2 years. I haven't. I cut all that off. But what I explained to him, if I'm the person that you claim that you want to be with, what are you showing me that you want to be with me? I think for me, if you want to be with me, you should show me by taking me out, doing things, spending time together, and none of that is happening. And every time he turns around, it's always an excuse why he couldn't do this and why he couldn't do that.
You want me to be honest? Annie, you called me. I think this is not the guy for you.
Uh-huh.
This is just my opinion. I mean, you can make your own choice. This is my opinion. And I tell you, because the Bible says by a fruit, you will recognize him. And based on what you've told me, it doesn't sound like he really has appreciated you. Now, I do believe that people can change. I do believe that people, you know, God can work in anyone's life. But I think you would know that by their fruit. And so if this man is totally different, then I would say you give him a chance. But if not, then just keep walking. There's someone else for you, and you're going to miss out if God has something else for you. Okay?
Are you there? I don't know. I'm hearing a strange noise in there.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I don't know what's going on.
All right, well, hopefully, Annie, I hope you heard that message for you.
Yeah.
You know, I pray you did. And if not, you know, just go ahead and give us a call back. But we were having a discussion right before, I believe, Annie, which was a previous caller, had called in, and you were saying, you could repeat that, please.
Yeah. So what if you have a calling on your life?
Like,
you know,
a dream, but
it's
something,
a dream,
passion.
But it's deeper than just a dream. It's actually like, I know for a fact I am here to do this thing. God put it on my life to do this specific thing. But if that thing, this calling, is getting in the way of your relationship, what do you do if your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, whatever, is like, I need more time from you. Mm. I feel like you're not giving me all the time that I need, but you're like, I do need to do this thing. It's like, I need to do this, like I need to breathe.
Well, you know what? Let's break it down. Let's make it something that I know is common, maybe more common than we realize. And let's say you're in a relationship and you want to get married and you want to have children, but the person you're with doesn't. They want to get married. They just feel like, I just don't want any more children. I already have grown kids. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you know, you ask yourself, oh man, maybe they'll change. You know, maybe, you know, if I love them enough and they'll love me enough, they'll realize that, you know, I have this deep desire to be a mother. And so I got to have children. And so they'll get it. And yet they're adamant about, you know, I love you, but I do not want children. So at that point, you know, what do you do? Like, do you get married in hopes that that changes, or do you decide to give up on motherhood because you marry this person? Do you feel like they're not the ones? I mean, what would you do, Tiffany, if this is some, I mean, you found the man of your dreams, everything you wanted, with the exception that you really deep down inside felt a calling to be a mother, and he's absolutely adamant about no children?
I mean, it would be really, really, really tough. And I don't know. I don't know if I could connect with the I'm being called to be a mother.
Well, not a mother, but it might be something else. But this is a very common one. It happens often.
Yeah, I think if you know if you're supposed to be a mom, and that's something that's really, really, really big, you can't expect someone to change their mind about children, because that is a lifelong commitment. Sure. And if the person comes into it saying, yo, I don't want anything, there's nothing you can do. And I think it's going to hurt both of you to assume that there is something you can do. You can never expect someone to change.
Okay, well, and that's
on that perspective.
Point.
So it'll be a painful decision. But if you really feel like I need to be a mom or I need to be a dad, then it's like,
and that's
as
where
perfect
you
as you are, you're not really the one for me, because this is something that I need to have happen in my life.
And you know what? That's being honest. And I think a lot of times people have a hard time being honest because they just want to be married.
Yeah.
They want the relationship and they're like, we'll deal with it later. I mean, but that's a common one. There are a lot of others. There are tons. But I know there are quite many relationships out there who go through, you know, like go through this exact scenario. Let's try the callers again.
All right. Let's see if we can get Annie on line one. Annie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello, Annie.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear us, Annie?
Annie, are you able to hear us?
Okay.
That's really weird. I don't know. We have the
we have
the technical gremlins getting into the phone system here. So we're going to work that out. But in the meantime, we're going to continue the conversation. Also, if you happen to be near Facebook, if you have a question, you can post your question on Facebook and Marcos can address it while we are addressing the phone issue right now. Go to Facebook.com and look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, and you can post your question there. Again, to what we were just discussing, Marcos, in the example that I was thinking in my head, it would be you get married, everything is fine, you have your usual, you know, marital things come up, nothing outrageous, but then you realize you have a call on your life and it's time to answer that call. Maybe you've been running away from it prior to getting married, but now it's at the point where it's so strong you have to answer it, whether it's ministry or something else, and your pursuit of that is getting in the way of the relationship. What do you do?
You know, that's an awesome question. What you do is, number one, you make sure God is first, and you have to obey God and listen to God. So, for example, if you are a non-Christian, you got married, and all of a sudden you felt this calling to become a Christian, to devote your life to God, to change. And your spouse is like, I didn't marry a Christian. Now you're not doing the things that we used to do. You know, I want you to go back. And you're like, no, I can't. I mean, God is first. Now, let me make that clear. That I'm not saying ministry or church. Now, of course, you should go to church, and that Bible is very clear about that. But a lot of times, other people, you know, especially I've seen this in marriages where people, you know, saturate themselves in ministry and neglect their spouse. That's not what I'm talking about. But in terms of being a Christian, going to church, you know, doing what you know God has called you to do, there's a thin line between, you know, saying, okay, well, my spouse comes first, God comes first. You know, God is always first. But then your spouse, I mean, that's a reality. So in that case, you know, you must obey God rather than man. However, if it's something that you have a desire for, let's say, you know, you want this career, you wanted to go back to your career, and your spouse is like, no, I don't want that. And you going back and forth, or you felt like you called to move somewhere, you know, you got to move, you know, to some impoverished, you know, country where you're going to serve an orphanage. And you're like, no, your marriage comes first. So, yeah, God comes first, but then your spouse. And so in some cases, you will have to die to that dream if your spouse truly comes first. So you never put the spouse before the marriage, before God. But at the end of it, you also should put the marriage before anything else. But it's a two-way street, though. It's not just like one spouse should give everything up. There are times you will give up certain things because that's what happens in marriage. You give up of yourself. So you got to count the cost.
Even if it's a calling.
Well, you got to be clear about that. I mean, again, we share 1 Corinthians 7. If it's such a deep calling that you'd rather be alone for the rest of your life and not remarry, then that's on you. You got to answer to God for that. But at the end of the day, this is between you and God. But you can't just like remarry and say, okay, well, they didn't work out with this person. Let me go find myself someone else that's going to encourage this dream. Like, no, not if they weren't unfaithful to you. Not if it just didn't fit with what you wanted. And so I have seen that. It's not as common because usually, you know, most people have common sense and they're willing to work things out. But sometimes people really do want something that's so opposite. You know, they have to do something, and it gets in the way. So for you, Tiffany, let's say the person that you end up with, you need to count the cost and be sure and be clear. Okay, these are the dreams that I have. You know, are we compatible in this way? Because if you're not compatible and then later you kind of pull out this card, oh, by the way, I want to quit my job and go into acting and I just want you to support me. It's like, okay, well, that's fine if you knew that you were getting into that. But if you didn't, and we think we're going to work together, and then now you just want me to take care of you, it might not go so well. It might. Someone might be like, amen. But you want to make sure you put that forth first. So, I mean, that's just giving that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I see you racking your brain thinking about it. But, you know, the Bible does talk about forsaking all others and, you know, putting your spouse before your own needs. Their needs.
One of the reasons why I bring that up, because I often am having conversations about, you know, various generations and the difference in what's going on relationally in generations. And it's been said that Generation X has the fewest number of people. Like, there aren't as many Generation Xers as there are baby boomers, as there are the new millennials and whatnot. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've been hearing is that because our parents, because we're both in the same generation, our parents really put on us to do career, to, you know, like, we had so many struggles, you know, when we were coming up. So we want you to have the best of everything. Go for the career, go for your dreams and things like that. And marriage and children weren't as highly stressed as they were prior to. So with that said, that becomes, a sticking point for our generation, because we were the ones that benefited from being able to go pursue these opportunities and dreams. And if there is something that is put in us that we can identify that God put in us, then it becomes an issue when you're trying to deal with a relationship, when you know you have something in you that's bubbling that needs to happen because it was not something you thought of. It was given to you. And you can say, this is something God gave to me. So how do I deal with that and deal with the relationship?
But won't you deal with that prior to?
It depends. I mean, it depends on the person, because I do know of people who didn't make that connection with God enough to hear that voice later. So everybody, you know, everybody doesn't have the same God conversation time. So some may not see that until later.
But I would say hopefully the person you married is going to be supportive because it's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it's not, then are you willing to jeopardize the relationship for this desire?
Okay.
I mean, that's really where you have to count the cost. And I don't think one person can answer that for you. This is something you're going to have to live with and say, well, you know, this, I had to put this first. And then you have to give an account of God. Remember that. If your marriage falls apart because you did something else, and you got to be willing to give an account for that and say, well, God, I felt like I did this for you. And so that's something that you're going to have to face him about. You know, you can't, no one person can tell you what's right in the situation if it's so deep in your heart that it's like, man, if I don't do this, I'm going to die. Then I guess no one should stop you. And especially if you think you're doing it for God.
All right. Having an awesome conversation about not giving up this morning. And we think we have our phone situation worked out. And we thank you, those of you who are on the line and have been on the line for a while. We thank you for your patience with that as well. If you're not on the line, please give us a call. 855-454-5905. Let's try Mary calling in from Philadelphia. Mary, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning.
How Yay, we're
Thank
fine.
Thank you so much for
we're
your
glad
patience,
we can hear
ma'am.
You.
Good, good.
All right. What's your comment or question?
Well, I was here driving and listening to your Not Giving Up, and then just decided to call in because I'm really thinking of giving up right now. I just found out about some infidelity that happened in my marriage, and I'm really struggling. And I try to reach out to my spouse and talk to him about, because I am able to forgive him, and the Bible says I'm able to forgive, to move past that. But he's not showing me any remorse, and he's not ready to walk this Christian walk with me at all. And that's a problem, because if he's not ready to walk the Christian walk with me, I don't know if I will be able to move on in the future with this relationship. Because if I can't trust you, you know, trust your decisions with God, then how am I going to know you're not going to do this again? And there's, like, no remorse at all.
And I think that's the key, right, Mary, because even God himself, I mean, God forgives us if we repent. So if there's not repentance, and repentance, let me clarify what that means. It's not just confessing it. It's not just feeling bad about it. It's a radical change. You know,
right.
when John the Baptist was preaching repentance, right, he's like, look, if you steal no more. You know, it doesn't say, like, hey, if you steal often, then just try to steal less, you know, wean off of it. No, you stop. And so for your husband, it's not even just the affair. Number one, how did you find out about it? Did he confess it, or did you?
No, it was a horrible doctor's visit, and
wow.
I found out that I got something. And
wow.
when I confronted him, he denied everything possible, that he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Of course, and you knew it wasn't you.
So then I got offended. I'm like, are you calling me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So did he? Eventually, did he
confess
up?
Eventually, when I wouldn't light up, and then he eventually confessed.
Okay.
And he said it happened before we got married, and it happened a couple times after our marriage.
Okay. And then, like you said, you still don't see that remorse, that repentance. Okay.
No, there's no remorse. And then there's something else that's key to it, I should say. I also found out that he's been lying about, he's not able to read or communicate. I found that out after I married him.
Okay.
And then that's like a barrier in our relationship. And this, I just found out this a few months ago, last year. And I'm like, how do I communicate with someone who doesn't know how to communicate themselves either? So I don't even know if I'm reading him correctly, because it just looks like he's like blank when you're talking to him about certain stuff.
Okay.
Because of that communication learning barrier.
Okay. And that could be. And what it sounds like to me, Mary, it sounds like he, for a long time, has put up a wall and has learned to live a lie or live a double life. Because, you know, if you didn't find out for a while, and then even then he wouldn't confess, like you said before, he's not even interested in the Christian thing. Here is your opportunity. And I don't say this often, and I don't even use that word often in marriage, opportunity. But when someone's not a Christian and they're not willing to repent, you could either do, you know, what the Bible is very clear, you can persevere and hope and prayer that your life, your example could win him over. Or you can say, you know what, he's not repentant. He was unfaithful. Then this is not the marriage for me. Unless this man repents, then I can't be there with him. And he's giving you enough reason to basically give you that way out if you decided to take it. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do in this situation, because it has to be, you know, your decision. But biblically, from a biblical standpoint, he's been unfaithful. He's broken that covenant of marriage. You're not bound to that marriage. However, if you decide to forgive him, and let me take a step further, not just forgive him, but to reconcile, then that has to be, you know, totally forgiven. And then you work it out no matter what. I mean, you figure this out. Like, you don't bring it back. You don't, you know, rub it in. You just, you decide to love him. But chances are, I mean, he's shown you who he is. Unless there's a reason for you to believe otherwise, I would say believe what you see, not what he says. And it's sad. It's sad because you know what? There's no telling if there's more, because you've already uncovered these things. But it's not like he opened up about them. It's you have discovered them. So what else could he be hiding?
And that's how I feel. And I'm like, is this worth my life? Because I feel like I can't trust him anymore. Like, even intimately, that's done. Because I feel like, how can I get past this? It could have been the worst news possible.
And it's dangerous. It can be the worst news. Like, what, you know, will it stop there?
Right.
I mean, this time it was one thing. You're right. It can be AIDS. It can be something very, it can be worse.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure you protect yourself as well. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to listen to the voice of God. And I believe God speaks to us in many ways, but the clearest way is through the scriptures.
Right.
And the scriptures make it very clear, you know, unless it's marital unfaithfulness. So there you go. If he's been unfaithful, this is a different story.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Mary, we thank you so much for your call today.
And thank you.
We pray you make the best decision. Thank you, Mary. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a break. If you're on the line, we're going to get right to your call in just a few minutes. So we ask that you have just a bit of patience with us. If you're not yet on the line, please give us a call. We're talking about not giving up on your marriage. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Stick around. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.